Good evening, class. We're going to continue talking about the three requirements for our delegated authority. The first one we spoke about was we must know that all authority belongs to God, dealing with Romans 13. And then we talked about communion. But the real qualification was that we must constantly keep in fellowship with God. We talked about it with communion. But thirdly, which is the last of the requirements for delegated authority, is he must, or this person must, who wants to be a delegated authority, must deny himself. Now, listen at this first point here. Now, I'm going to hit you pretty hard because these things we're going to talk about are designed to begin, if you ever haven't experienced already, some of the brokenness in a person, because there have to be a certain brokenness, according to our instructor, our teacher here, have to be a certain brokenness before we can be a delegated authority. But the first statement is, like I said, I'm going to hit you pretty hard with it. It says, until one knows the will of God, he shall keep his mouth shut. Yeah, that's pretty strong. But when you understand what he's saying here, it makes all the difference in the world. Once one knows authority, or once one knows the will of God, which is almost synonymous with knowing authority, he must keep his mouth shut. What that means is he shouldn't speak so quickly. Because a person that speaks quickly or without constraint has not really been broken to the effect where God can really deal with him. He still has his own will involved. He still has his own opinions, his own ideas, and when you speak quickly like that. But a person that learned authority, he wait and see if what he's saying is lined up with the will of God. So until one knows the will of God, he should keep his mouth shut. It's a little blunt, but we're trying to get a point across here. He must, or he should, not exercise authority carelessly. Remember, you are not exercising your own authority, but God's authority. And that's the whole key point here we're trying to present to you, that a person delegated authority is not really operating in their own authority, but they operate in God's authority. So therefore, if you operate in God's authority, you're not the owner. God's the owner. And so with God being the owner, then everything that you say should be directed by or through him. I hope I'm making sense to you. He who is to represent God, listen to this, must learn on the positive side. See, there's two sides to everything. On the positive side, what God's authority is, and on the negative side, how to deny himself. Two sides. The positive side is he must understand or learn what authority is. And on the negative side, how to deny himself. Because you cannot really function in authority unless you denying yourself. And what denying yourself mean? To explain that, I have to go to another scripture. We have to look at scripture in Philippians. Chapter 3. I want to go there quickly. Philippians chapter 3. Turn your Bible with me to Philippians 3. Just give me a minute to find it. And I give you a minute to find it. Philippians 3, we're going to look at, start at verse 8. Apostle Paul, when he came into Christ, there were some things he had to learn. And for God to prepare him to be used the way he was used, he had to experience some things he never experienced before. But listen what he said. We're going to begin at the 7th verse, Philippians 3 and 7. Let's look at this closely because these scriptures here are going to define what Paul had to do to be the authority he was for God. And he was a great authority. He spoke for God, and then God used him mightily. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Now, what things were gained? Paul was a very educated man. He was a lawyer in his field. He knew the law from his youth on up. So he was very crafted in knowledge and skill of God. He was a very educated man. But at 8 verse 8, he said, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Listen. And do count them but dung. You know what dung is? Dung is human waste, that I may win Christ. So here he's saying he put everything on the side. He put himself on the side. He put his knowledge. He put his wisdom. He put his all his learning ability, his expertise in whatever field he had learned in the law, and you count him lost for Christ. And then he said in that ninth verse, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that is which through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then he made this other statement, this profound statement that we quote all the time in his 10th verse. And you understand it a little bit better now, because before a person can understand Christ, they almost got to strip themselves of who they are. And then he said in that 10th verse, that I may know him. You see it? And the power of his resurrection. He did all these stripping, all the laying aside that he may know Christ and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto the death. Well, class, I just want you to see that scripture because that's a profound scripture. And what it's saying is that for Paul to be the authority he was, he had to lay himself aside. And a very simple term for that is denying yourself. He had to deny himself. And that's what this lesson will be all about. So we're going to say some things that are going to be pretty rough riding here. But you need to see it because these are the type of things that are going to make us an authority according to God's own will and God's own heart. Listen at this point. Neither God nor the brothers and sisters will treasure your thoughts, your own thoughts. Probably you yourself are the only one in the whole world who consider your opinion as the best. So don't be afraid if God don't honor your own opinions and God don't honor your own thoughts sometimes. Yeah, because God only honors what he says. He backs up only what he says, not your opinions, your ideas, and your own thought. Listen at this one now. Person with many opinions. What is many opinions? You see, sometimes people have, they're very opinionated, and they think they have all the right answers, and they think their opinion is the one that counts them. You've seen people like that. They think their opinion is the best opinion. They think their idea is the best, and they think their thoughts are the best. Nobody like them. But I want you to know that God does not regard that. But you see, a person with many opinions, ideas, and subjective thoughts. Subjective thoughts mean your own personal idea, and you got it so solid that it's hard to change what you think because you think that's the only way to think. And all that's got to be broken. You got to be broken up. They like to be counselors. I'm talking to these people with subjective ideas and thoughts. They like to be counselors to all. They seize upon every opportunity to press their ideas on others. Now, you probably know some people like that, and I hope you're not like that yourself. But all that's got to be broken. All that person that I'm talking about, he's got to come to a place where he doesn't exist anymore when you're serving God. Paul said, I count all those things but done. And now we have to do, count all those things but nothing, that we may know him. He said, God never used a person so full of opinions, ideas, and thoughts as the one to represent his authority. So, we're about to find out that I got some dying to do. We all got some dying to do. Everybody that passes this way, everybody that got designed to do the work of God, everybody that with a call of God in their life, has to pass this way of brokenness. And look, you ain't got to worry. God's gonna put these opportunities before you to be broken. Now, whether you decide to be broken, as up to you. But God will give you many opportunities to be broken. I remember telling a story about this man with his horse. It was a neighbor had a horse, and this horse would not accept a saddle. He didn't want to be broken. And so what the man did was, the trainer, he was kind of crude, I thought, but that's what he did to break the horse, because this horse had such wildness in him, had so much spirit in him that he had to be broken where he become useful. You heard what I just said? Sometimes we're not useful if with our own opinion and ideas and thoughts. So this horse was not useful. He wouldn't even take a saddle. So what this man did was, and I watched him, he tied a horse to a long rope, drove a stake in the middle of the ground where the horse can go round and round in a circle. And then he put the saddle on the horse. But the horse bucked the saddle off. Well, this time, he weighed the saddle down with sandbags. And then it was at the point where the horse couldn't buck no more because he had too much weight. And when he got through running them around the circle with the sandbags, you call that being force broken. Force broken. He didn't want to be broken on his own, so he had to be force broken with the heavy saddle. And at the end, the horse said, "Give me the saddle. I'll take the saddle right now. You give him to me." Because he realized that he couldn't make it with that heavy burden that was put on him. But so he willing to set the saddle. So I don't want to be forced broken. You? No. When God presented me an opportunity to be broken, I'm going to say, "Lord, what I need to change, Lord? What I need to do? How do I correct this? I don't want this in me. Let me make this change, Lord." So you have opportunities. You might be corrected by your pastor. You might be corrected by a friend. You might be corrected in ways you wouldn't think God would use to correct you. But realize that God is trying to get you somewhere. Realize God is trying to humble you and bring you to a position where you become usable. You want to be usable. And except we meet authority, and that's what we meet every time we have encounters. You meet an authority. And every time you meet authority, God showing you a little of himself, and that you must decrease and he must increase, and then finally you get in a place where God can use you. See, God is not cruel like this man with the horse and the saddlebags. But as men are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So whenever you encounter these opportunities to be broken, you take it because God's trying to get us somewhere. It don't feel good. Correction, oh, Jesus. Correction don't feel, I've been there. Correction, oh, Jesus. Correction don't feel good. But it don't feel good. But I tell you what, at the end, you know, like this man I told you last week, this pastor, he said, when the apostle corrected him, he said, "It changed my life." You don't see it then. But what God is doing, God is preparing you or us for things we don't even know about yet. Some place he want to bring us that we don't know we're going yet. But that's a certain mindset we have to have, and certain condition of the heart that have to be developed in us so God can do those things. Now listen to this. Unless we are completely broken. And what I said, completely broken. And I'm not talking about just broken some area, broken this area. When you're completely broken, you completely deny yourself. And when you completely deny yourself, then you get to this place. "Lord, not my will." You see, because your will is broken. "Let thy will be done." Then God can do whatever you want to do in you. Then God can use you. Is that being weak? No. It being to a position where God can use you. Unless we are completely broken by the Lord, we are not qualified, ooh, Jesus, to be God's delegated authority. Who wants to be completely broken? Most people don't, because of our human side. Sometimes broken brings a little bit of shame, and we don't like to be shamed. So it takes certain humility, and we don't want to be humble because we don't want to be embarrassed sometimes. That pastor felt embarrassed before all these people. But maybe God had to get him to that point. Maybe that's the only way God was going to be able to reach him. I hope you don't have to go through that for God to reach you. But God is sovereign in his personality and position. His will is his. Well, I like that statement. Underline that when you write it down. His will is what is his. He never, listen to this. There's some good notes here, Brother Not Watchman Nee has, because God really gave him revelation of this. But the funny part about it, without knowing it, my apostle had brought us through all of this through the years. He's brought us to understand God's will and God's way through the years. So I know exactly what he's saying. He said, consequently, one who represents authority must not be subjective, a subjective person. He is not to imply that before he can be used by God, he must be reduced to have no opinion, no thought, and no judgment. Let me read this again. Consequently, one who represents authority must not be a subjective person. This is not to imply that before he can be used by God, he must be reduced to having no opinion, no thought, and no judgment. You understand that? In other words, you don't have to be perfect. Not at all. It merely means that the man must be truly broken. His cleverness and his opinion and his thoughts must be all broken. Now, it's easier said than done. I know everybody agree with that. It's easier said than done for all your thought, all your opinion to be broken. Those who are naturally talkative, and that's a lot of people I know personally, they just naturally, they talk all the time. They're naturally opinionated and self-conceited and need a radical dealing, a basic bending. Yeah, you see, there's some people just naturally humble. I met a man one time, he was so humble, I thought he was saved. See, because the person is humble, his personality, I don't mean he's saved. And he almost threw me off because I thought he functioned better than some Christians I knew. But that was just a personality. Some people are just naturally talkative, naturally opinionated, naturally self-conceited. And so God got to put a real radical dealing with them. You know what radical dealing means? God got to do like he did this man, almost point to a place where he allowed him to almost fall on his face and see his undoneness. You really don't want to go there, but if you're a tough person, it takes tough side of God to do some of the bending. This is something which cannot be either a doctrine or an imitation. I'm talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about being broken. It can't be a doctrine. It has to be experience. It must be wounds in the flesh. Now, see, that don't sound too good. Wounds in the flesh. Wounds in the flesh. Wounds in the flesh only mean that, you know, I hear apostles sometimes. He said, I'm going to cut you now. You know what cut you mean? You know? I'm going to put a wound on you. But he always ends up sewing us back up after he cut us, because sometimes we got to be cut. Sometimes we've got to be spoken at harshly sometimes. We got to see our ways or not God's ways sometimes. And so because God wants our ways to be his ways. So sometimes God got extensive measure. Only after one is scourged by God. You don't like that? We don't like the word wound. We don't like the word scourge. And he does it so he can begin to live, so we can begin to live in fear and trembling before him. So we can begin to live in fear. We're not talking about worldly fear. We're talking about a reverential fear. Lord, I'm afraid to say what you don't say. You see it? Lord, I'm at the point, I'm afraid, Lord, to do something you didn't tell me to do. Boy, that's where God can use you. So when you get to that place, all of your doings, all of your actions, all of your saying, it depends on what he say, what you hear, and what you see him do. Now, I just described my apostle. You see it? My goodness. You see, he has the intimacy with God. That's the only example I got. Joe got to excuse me. He qualified all these requirements. The first one was, he know there's no authority but God. And then his second quality is, and requirement that I've seen him fulfill over the years, is that he's in constant communion with God. Always looking, trying to find out what God is doing and what God is saying. And he's at the place, he knows how to deny himself because he knew that he can't live on his own opinion, own thoughts, own idea. And he's at the point where he has such fear for God that he doesn't want to do anything outside of what God wants. And that's why I can follow him so much. That's why you connected to this ministry, because you found authority. But God want to place authority in you, and for us to have what he has, we got to go through what he went through. Oh, it's true. You see, I don't want to go through suffering. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to be broken. Well, you're not qualified for God to use you then, because that's some of the requirements. That's Paul the dying. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. And we got to get to a place where we're willing to die daily. So we got to begin to walk and live in fear and trembling. Now that sounds like 1 Corinthians 2. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. You see, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and trembling. See, he'd been there. He'd been broken. Apostle Paul released the words of a broken man. God trusted him so much that God allowed him to use some of his opinions. I read in the Word. He said, God didn't say this. He said, but it seemed good for me to say this. God trusted. When a person is broken, and a person has come to a place where they fear God. Sometimes they've been around God so much, they God can trust them with their thoughts. My goodness, that's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He dare not open his mouth. We're still tearing down now. Look, I'm restoring my dad's old house. And we still tearing down spiritual right now in the class. Tearing down, and then you build up, you know. But this old house got the mirrors on it. And I'm ready to start putting stuff back, but I'm still tearing down. Every time I get to one wall, I find something else wrong in that wall. Now I got to tear something else down. So what am I saying? I'm saying that to say this. Sometimes, you know, I'm still tearing this thing down. This brokenness I'm talking about. So we get to the place where this foundation is built, where I don't have to worry about the foundation anymore. Sometimes God permits you to miss. See, everything that we go through is not, even though it might not seem like it's good, but sometimes it's good for you. My mom would give us castor oil. It didn't taste good, but she said, boy, it's good for you. Didn't taste good. If anybody knows anything but castor oil, it cleaned you out. It didn't taste good. But anyway, I'm trying to bring it where you can see it. And while my son and I are going through this house, we're trying to do the plumbing now, okay? The plumbing is all the pipes are corroded and everything, and we're trying to put new faucet in the bathtub. We got the wall torn open. And what happened now is that we've got to take one of the original pipe loose. And I'm turning the pipe, trying to unscrew it, and the whole pipe rusted in the thing, and the whole pipe broke off. So I'm going somewhere with this. And so I look at my son, because he already didn't want to take the floor back up. We had just put the new floor down, and now we got to, because the house is off the ground. And we had to take the new floor down off again, and so we can see under the house where the pipe was. And my son said, Daddy, you know what we ought to do? He said, we ought to just put all new pipe in here, then we don't have to worry about none of this no more. I just done, that's it. So what I'm saying is sometimes God permits things to happen that we think is bad, but we all were frustrated, but it was for our good. I said, now, son, we don't have to worry about this no more. And God said, once you make these little changes, you don't have to worry about none of these things. I hope I'm making sense, because it's the truth anyway. So I'm still tearing down. I say it for this statement here, because it's still getting a little rough. The road's still a little rough. But I hope to, before I get to the end of this, to show you what the outcome is when we get to some good ground here. We're still on rugged ground, still walking on rugged ground. He said, he dare not open his mouth inadvertently. Were his experience nothing more than doctrine or imitation? Then as time goes on, the fig leaf will soon dry up. You see, in other words, there's no substance there, no foundation. And his original state will reappear. You see it? If you don't fix it right, you're going to go back to the same person you was. And there was nothing happening. You're the same old, because you don't want to die. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It is futile for us to control ourselves by our own will. In our much talking, we will soon forget ourselves and expose the real self. And you know that's right on. You know, if you haven't been truly broken, if you still continue in some of the old veins, used to and don't want to die, and you finally the whole you gonna resurface, and you're gonna find out that there was no brokenness. You didn't even die. You're gonna expose your real self, the true person. But you got to die. He said, how we need to be slain, we don't like that word slain, by God's light. You see, Apostle Paul was slain by God's light. He fell under the power of God, and he fell under God's authority. But we don't like it, but we need to be. Like Balaam in Numbers 22:25, we need to be pushed against the wall and have our foot crushed. We will then feel pain, and as we move, and we will dare not speak casually. You don't say what people want you to say. That's speaking casually. It got some men, they're people pleasers, and they'll say just what the people want to hear. But no, a true authority from God gonna say what God said, no matter what the people say, or what the people think, or how the people feel. Because you know he's saying what God said. Is it easy to do that? No. But warrant you if you don't. I've seen apostles do that many times. He said, Lord, I got to do that. I'm hearing. He said, Lord, I got to say that. And then he said, because, you know, he said, I don't want to get fired. So he said what the Lord said. And that's true authority. Oh, if we can learn this lesson, what true authority is. It is not necessary to advise one whose foot is crushed. No, you ain't got to tell him nothing. He been crushed to walk slowly. You ain't got to tell him to walk slowly if your foot crushed. You see, like Balaam, foot would crush. You have to tell Balaam, oh, to walk slowly. No, you automatically walk slowly because your foot been crushed. So when a person's foot been crushed spiritually, you ain't got to tell them to walk softly. No, they shy out now. They're walking in reverence because they have some correction from God. And they don't want to feel that pain. I don't like being, nobody, I don't want to mess the same thing twice. No. You mean I ain't learned from the first one? Only by such painful experience as this shall we be delivered from ourselves. So it's a process. It's a process that I hope we're willing to go through. It don't feel good, but we talk about being God's delegate authority. As God's delegate authority, we are not to express our own views, nor to itch to interfere with others' affairs. I hear this word all the time. Stay in your own lane. Stay where God put you. Now, some seem to consider themselves as Supreme Court justices. They pretend to know everything in the church and everything in the world. They have a ready opinion on anybody and everything, freely dispensing their teaching as if they were the gospel. You don't want to be that. A subjective person has never learned discipline. We're still cutting. Nor has he ever been seriously dealt with. He knows all and can do all. His opinion and methods are as countless as the many items in the grocery store. My goodness. Such a person is basically unqualified to be an authority, because the basic requirement for being God's delegate authority is to entertain no thought or opinion in oneself. Now, I hope you see what God is trying to get into us is say, as a delegate authority, we should be in a position, Jesus said, I only say what my Father say. I only do what my Father do. Jesus tried to help us in the gospel. Here's the three points right here that we must remember, go over and over and over again, because these 3 points is outlines, I want to say, almost all delegate authority ministry. I must know that all authority belongs to God. If you ain't settled that yet, if you ain't settled that I have no authority to do anything on my own, if you ain't settled that yet, then God, you're going to be you're going to misrepresent God, because you're going to think you can do things on your own. And that's not what God wants. And that's not who God is. People look at you or look at people in authority and they have a false representation of what God is like. And that's not what God is like at all. Sometimes that's your own opinion, that's your own ideas of what you think God is like, because you're not afraid to speak freely. And so you're walking in your own authority. And that's not what God wants. The second thing is, I'm just going over these points again. He must constantly, this not the same order with the book, but this is the order I will let it go. He must constantly keep in fellowship with the Lord. Constantly. That means communion. Remember the word communion. Communion is God talking to you, you talking to God. God's word becomes a lamp unto your feet. And the scripture says, a light unto our path. You get to the place where, like Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I might know him. You see, you have to get to the place where you know him. And how do you know him? Jesus said, I'm the truth. If you want to know what Jesus like, I hear Dr. Montrell say, read everything in the red. Everything in the red is what God is like, what Jesus is like, what he thinks, and what you think about a situation, what you think about circumstances, and what you're really saying is Jesus is the personified will of God. Jesus was God's will in action. And so when you stay in constant communion with God, you begin to understand his will, his ways of thinking, his ways of doing, his ways of believing. And so when you get to that place of understanding the will of God, then you become to walk in the place of being qualified. God said, I can trust him. I can trust him now because they spend enough time with me to know my ways. You see it? You said the children of God knew God's acts. But Moses knew God's ways. See, acts is one thing. You see, that's experiencing what God has done. But Moses knew what God was doing. And so when someone is in communion with God, you get to a place where you know what God is doing. You get caught up in the realm of the spirit where you see what God is doing. You begin to hear what God is doing. See, apostle, even at this particular time, he knows what God is doing. And so yesterday, he preached from the standpoint of being the prophet. He said, I'm walking off as a prophet today, of a prophet. You see, and the prophet knows what God is doing. And he began to give us instruction about what God is doing and what God is saying. And so that because constant fellowship, keeping constant knowing of God's will. I'm not talking about will one time here. God's continual will. You see, in one scripture said, God ain't gonna do nothing unless he revealed to his servant, the prophet. That's fellowship. That's constantly in the will of God. And the last one, we just went over it, denying yourself. Now, I said all this, and this is the last of the 3 points, and we're going to move on to something else next week. But I still say this. These are the qualifications. It's not easy denying yourself sometimes, because sometimes you've been in yourself for so long, you don't want to deny yourself. You say, I've been in this all my life, and I'm a dot. No, that don't say that. Be willing to change. Be willing not to be what you want to be anymore. And see, I'm trying to sew you up right now. I'm trying to sew us up. Be willing to be what God wants us to be so God can make us what the scriptures say, what we ought to be. There's some things God wants us to ought to be. And so, but for us to be what we ought to be, there's some denying yourself. There's some taking up the cross and following him. There's some dying. There's some change of thoughts. Your thoughts have become God's thoughts. Your ideas got to become God's idea. Your opinion got to become God's opinion. And when these things are lined up together, you come to a place of where God can trust you, because he's not dealing with a rebellious person, but someone that has submitted to his will, his ways, and his word. So, Clan, you study these notes. If you're taking good notes, you study them. And you go over them again, and because if you listen closely, your life not going to ever be the same again. Because these points we brought up, they're breaking points, but these breaking points put you on a foundation that cannot be denied. All right, Clyde, that's all that we can go today. We will see you next week. Amen.